this old age that we find ourselves in, it's just no thought of retirement, you know. I should have been retired about 10 years ago now, but actually, serving God is a forever thing, you know. When you die, we want to hit the deck running, you know, or hit the heaven running, you know. So, but we are so enjoying. It is so nice to be back in Swakopmund. We had a little house here in Veneta when we were here, so all our holidays we were here, and every opportunity we had, we would come on holiday in Swakop, of course. There's no other place like Swakop. And so to be back here in different circumstances, to be back here in to be saved, and talking about Jesus, who ever thought to come back to Swakopmund? And when we got the invitation to come here, I thought to myself, you know, God is so good, you know, so amazing that He's taken us back to our roots in a sense. And I was wondering why God didn't take us to Windhoek. But all our old friends, most of our old friends are now retired in Swakop. So that's why we are here. And we met one of the two of them. So they are still bias krikera for us, because they're not saved yet. But it's good to touch base. Threw a couple of seeds and planted a couple of seeds. And yeah, it's lovely to be with you. We are married 50 years, got two children, five grandchildren, and so we are, and they're all living in George now. And so God has really redeemed us in many ways. They're all saved and serving God, and yeah, we are going for it. But the subject I want to talk about really is just sort of part of my life. And hope it's an encouragement to you that when you go through the stuff that I went through, and the feelings of who I am as a person before I got saved, and how God can change us to a place with Him after salvation, and to grow in Him. It's just two different things, because before I got saved, I really felt I was a failure. You know, I wasn't adding up to much in my life. And I just realized that life was just as it comes, you know, whatever comes your way is your lot. And that is a lie from the devil. Do you know that? Hello? Do you know that? It's a lie from the devil. Because actually God's got a plan for you. And He's got a plan for me. And if we don't realize that God's got a plan for us, then we need to start looking at God in a little bit different way, because we are here on this earth, in this area of the earth's existence for a purpose. And that purpose is God, and He brought you by whatever circumstances. If you were born into a loving family, or if you are born outside of wedlock, God still has a purpose for you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And so, you know, but sometimes those hurts of the past actually catch up with us. And even in the kingdom of God, we still suffer under the stuff that we had before. And God wants to bring healing into us. And I'd like to explain that to you. So, Father, I ask you, Lord, that as we just go through, Lord, what you want to say to your people, Lord. Father, I pray that you give me your words, that you, by your Holy Spirit, will just lead me, Lord, and guide me. And Lord, Father, that you will speak into our hearts, Lord, and not only knit us together, but to identify with you, Father, that you are a restoring God, you are a healing God, and you want us to come to the full purpose of this journey on this life, on this earth. And so, Father, we want to meet you one day, and we want to hear those words, Lord, well done, good and faithful servant. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would just speak those words to us, and we would know, Lord, that we have done the best we can with what we have and with who we are, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This is Diamond Country. And you all know a little bit about diamonds, I would think. But you know what? You get good diamonds and you get some diamonds have got a bit of a flaw in. So I think most of us are sitting here today like those diamonds in God's eyes. You are just so precious to Him. And you're worth much more than diamonds, obviously. But you know, sometimes with these flaws can dig into us and we'll say, I'm not good, I'm not perfect. I'm not as God would want me to be. You know, I've messed up so much. But I want to say to you that a flawed diamond has much more value than a perfect brick. Do you know that? A flawed diamond has much more value than a perfect brick. Now, you must see yourself as God wants to see you, not as other people see you, or even as you see yourself. Because the way that we look at ourselves sometimes is we put ourselves down. And I was one of those guys that really I was wondering what I was doing on this earth. And so God in his goodness sent his son Jesus to die for us, that we can be restored to what He originally wanted for mankind. And what He wanted for mankind is the time when Adam and Eve were on earth. They had an amazing time and fellowship with God. Until such time, the enemy came. And this enemy, by the way, his name is Satan now, but he was Lucifer in heaven, in this place, with God. He was, we sense he was a worship leader. And he was in the place where he wanted worship for himself. And so he wanted to be God. And so God knew exactly what was in his heart. And he actually got Michael, the angel, threw him down to, and he came to earth. And in this process, he became an enemy of God. And God changed his name from Lucifer to Satan. And when Satan was here, when he was up in heaven, he had all authority. But when he was here on earth, he had no authority. But when God created man, Adam and Eve, He then gave them authority because He said to them, I want you to rule and reign over all the earth. And when Satan came along and tempted Eve with a fruit that God said you must not eat of, God gave them the opportunity at that point in time to say, when I gave you that instruction, there is something that came in which is called free choice. He gave them choice, a free will. You can eat of that fruit, but if you eat of the fruit, there's going to be consequence. And not a good consequence. So be obedient. But they were disobedient. And that's where the problem started. So we all come out of this place of sinfulness. Anybody never sinned yet before? Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering if Jesus actually has come back. But he's not here yet. But we've all come out of that place of sinfulness. And as I just will explain again, here's the kingdom of darkness. Here is the cross. And here is the God's kingdom, the kingdom of God. And so we've all come out of this place where say we were in the world and Satan had to goad us in every possible way. And you are some of the fortunate ones that have come to a place where you meet Jesus. And you come to the cross and you say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. Thank you for forgiving me. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. That moment, He translates us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God. Okay? Not the kingdom of the church. There is no such thing as the kingdom of the church. We are all in the kingdom of God. You may belong to a church, but this church is actually part of the kingdom of God. So Jesus never spoke about the kingdom of the church. He always spoke about the kingdom of God. And this is where you are. You are fortunate. You should be rejoicing. That thank you, Father, that you saved me. Thank you. Say thank you to yourself for saying yes when somebody led you to the Lord here. Here is the place where we do discipleship. And He says, go into the world, go through the cross here, go into the world, and you go and witness here, And you bring him to the cross and you bring him into the kingdom of God. And here we are. So we've got disciples ministering to disciples. Our problem is we've got disciples that are broken from what happened there. And here we are still broken. And God says, well, this is make disciples. And this is where we are making disciples to get them healed from the stuff that happened there. And even in here, because we get offenses there, we use those offenses here, and we cross with the church, and we're still in an unhealed state here, and God wants to bring healing. Job was a man that experienced a lot of issues because God gave Satan the permission for him to test Job. And he said, don't kill him. And the stuff that happened to Job, you're going to read about Job. He went through everything. But I tell you what, he kept his heart right with God. But in the time that he was tested, in Job chapter 5, verse 6, he says, as a man is born, a man is born to trouble, as surely as the sparks fly upwards, we are born into trouble. And if you look at the world is trouble. It is full of trouble. Why? Because they are trying to do it on their own strength. They will not do it their own strength. It's going to get worse and worse. So don't be careful of pointing fingers to the governments and things like that. They are just doing what their father tells them to do. And who is their father? Satan. Because that's where they're falling under. Good people, lovely people, beautiful people. That's why we want to get them saved and sit there next to you. But it's our job to do that anyway. Here we come into this place. And we want to, those that are hurt here, we want to bring healing to you so that we can become effective disciples once we ourselves are healed of our hurts. God has designed us through Jesus in his name not to be failures, but actually to be victorious in him. So are we saying, are we living a victorious fight or are we life, or are we living a life here which we are struggling to get closer to God? Are we struggling to witness to others? Are we still got fears? Have we still got all the issues? Now, we're going to have issues, of course, but actually God wants us to be healed of that stuff. Sometimes we get abused when we were young. And we come and we get come into the kingdom of God, that the effects of that abuse is still there. And we're judgmental. We develop a bit of rude judgments, which we spoke about over these last couple of days. And we just brought a couple of the teachings that help us to be able to say, recognize that could be an issue. Now, we only gave three or four, seven teachings, I think. But there's a list like that we can still talk about. And each one, we can get healing into different areas of our lives. Sometimes other people hurt us. Sometimes we sin ourselves. Sometimes we do things which we're not proud of. Sometimes we want to blame others. Sometimes we develop what Satan had right in heaven. Where did pride come from? Pride came from the throne room of heaven almost, because he wanted to be God. Rebellion came from the throne room of heaven, because Satan wanted to be God. He was rebellious towards God. So all these things are really powerful issues that are in our lives that God wants us to be free of. And because the world was going the way it was, time came when Jesus came and he came to show us the way. And God gave us the word. He gave Moses the word. He said, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. But then he doesn't often say why you mustn't do that. But actually, if you did do that, then how do you get free of that? And Jesus came to show us, hey, man, you can get healed emotionally. And sometimes we need to be freed up from the enemy who has a hold on us We call it deliverance to say, enemy, you must go. And so how do we be free of these things? Now, the Bible doesn't say too much about that. We just see that Jesus healed. And so what we've done is we've, over the 30 years that LL's been going, we started in the UK, God's been giving them keys on how to minister that healing into people's lives. And we just see miracle. We're in a ministry that we see miracles, I would say almost on a daily basis, of lives being changed. We see miracles of people being healed, not only emotionally, but sometimes even when we forgive, physical healing takes place in their bodies. It is incredible what God does. But you see, when we are here, when I was a youngster, when I was a youngster, I wanted to say, God, even as a youngster, as a baby, before I was born, really, he had a plan for my life. But here, when I was a young man, and that, would you put that little failure thing on first? Da-da-da. Where are you guys? No, before that. There. Okay. When we're in a place like that, and you get in a place like that when you are young, then you grow up with the sense of you're a failure. And so at school, just through my mom didn't prepare me for school well enough. When she dropped me off at school for the first day and she was there for 5 minutes and then disappeared, it felt as if somebody had betrayed me and somebody had left me there in an orphanage or something like that. I don't know where it was, really. And I just, from that moment on, I didn't like school. And they had these teachers who were very nice, very accommodating. But after a while, I think I shouted and screamed so much that they actually rebuked me with the hand of discipline, which you could do those days. And so I grew up with this sense of me not being in the right place. And so I became rebellious, I think, and I was probably cheeky, and I was not the best little guy. And one of the photographs here, I think it was a standard five, I had two school teachers. One was the English and the other was the Afrikaans teacher, who were very disciplinarians, and they were allowed to discipline with a cane those days, and the one guy had drumsticks, and he would hit us on their knees. But I developed a fear of man. I developed a fear of authority, and my dad was in the traffic police in PE, and I know my dad loved me, but he was also a disciplinarian. You know, if he said, Derek, do this, if I didn't do it in 1 second, boom, you know, I would know about it. And so I developed this fear of just this authority thing. And I started to stutter through this fear. So I really paddled to speak. It's terrible. On the playground, I didn't stutter. But coming to the authority place, that place of authority, I really struggled. And at a young age, about that age, that was the one teacher. You know, these are the, and that's the other teacher. There I am, just on the second from the top there, but anyway. And I was at a place that I was good in some sense, but it hadn't to do with adults, and it hadn't to do with authority. I was okay. But once I started working and I had a boss, I had authority figure. And this authority figure was now a threat to me, because he's now, I hear that you can be fired in this place. So when about after 2 years, I had the syndrome that you have a two-year job and you get out before they fire you. Because if they had fired me, I think that sense of rejection that I'd had was really deep, and it will just go deeper. And I didn't like that sense of rejection. Sometimes, even today, I still struggle a little bit with rejection. But then it was rejection. So here, I went from job to job every 2 years, and I met up with Beryl, and we got married, and she started to see this pattern in my life that every 2 years I would have another job. And she said to me one day, you know, we weren't saved. She said to me, you know, you got a good job. We know why you want to move now. I said, I'm bored. You know, I need a new challenge. And she said, no, man, you stick around for a while. And so I stuck around for a while. It was 15 years I stuck around. But, you know, it was God already then was starting to do something in my life. And then we came to Pretoria. We got saved that time, that 82. And from that moment on, it was as if God just took us on a different route. It was just amazing to see that what God wants to do, you know, in Proverbs 24:16, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. So I was not a righteous man there, but here is the time that I'm really attempting now to become the man of God, or the person, or the man and the husband and the father that God actually intended me to do, because my role model here was not that good. So here it was a struggle for me to be really that role model. And so how do I just change my life? It just doesn't change just like that. I don't know who changes like it, but I tell you, for me it was a struggle, and I would think it's a walk for a long, long time. You know what? God wants to change you. He doesn't make failures. But the way that we see ourselves and the way what other people say to us has such a deep effect that we push it down so deeply we don't even know it's there anymore until somebody presses a little button here. It's called emotion. He presses the wrong button and, you know, we just want to react. Where does it come from? That reaction. When somebody hurts you and you hear somebody talking about somebody else with the same name, that when you just hear the name about somebody else, that the guy that hurt you, that name comes up and it digs into you. And so when we're in this place of having these hurts and pains that we've buried down, and all of a sudden something similar happens, that old back thing comes back up again, and you sort of almost go back to where you were years ago. Don't you think we have a God that wants to heal that? He does. I see it as a miracle just standing here talking to you, just because he healed me of the stutter. He healed me of the authority figures. I can look at a professor or a whatever it might be, and where in the past these were just guys that you just don't go anywhere close to. But you know what? If a professor doesn't know, he might know a lot more than me. But if he doesn't know the Lord Jesus as his Lord and Savior, actually, I have more wisdom than he has. Amen. Yeah, I do. He would look at me and say, no, but what do you know? You know, I know the Bible backwards. If he's a learned pastor or a dominie or a minister of the gospel, and he knows his Bible backwards. But if he doesn't know the healing power of the Lord Jesus and cannot speak about how to bring healing into people's life, he's actually just a walking dictionary without a spirit. I mean the Holy Spirit. He's got a human spirit as well. But I tell you what, we don't have to be afraid. And God wants to bring us to that place, you know, that where he would come along, and we've put into our lives, put that photo, that slide up on the with the drawers, no, the filing cabinet. We have this filing cabinet. And this filing cabinet, it's a three-drawer filing cabinet, and here in the top drawer we got all the truth, all what we think is truth, we put into this filing cabinet. But we also got the bottom drawer, and in this bottom drawer, there's a lot of lies that we believe. And sometimes we know these are things are lies. We know it, so we can follow it in really nicely there. But how many times have we taken truths, biblical truths, and they don't fit our lifestyle, so we put them into the lies drawer? And we take out some of the lies that we believe, and we put them into the truth drawer, and we say, this is my truth, even if it's a lie. And then we've got a pending drawer. We don't know if it's lies or truth, or where I stand on this particular issue. One of the issues, for instance, that when you get saved, when you come out of the kingdom of God, you come into the kingdom of God, you are a new creature because you've received Jesus. You're a new creature. Yeah, he's a nivus capsule. Everything is made new, and everything's past. It's gone. And it's true. That is exactly what happens. But they say, here, I shouldn't have any problems. They say over here, the problems that I have here should be taken away at the cross. And so we have this condemnation that I should be the perfect person here. So if I'm still struggling with anger, or I'm still struggling with rejection, then, man, did you actually get saved? They would ask. So it is they want to make a lie and put it in the truth drawer. And we live under that for years and years and years. So when I was here, I also joined in the Anglican Church when I was a youngster. In the Anglican Church, high Anglican Church, they have incense and carry candles around around the place. And I was a counterboy's altar boy. And so I wore this long red dress with a little white thing here and carry candles. And that was great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. But anyway, but one day the minister was speaking from his pulpit, and the pulpit was so, ye so good, ah, Aaron's. There where that thing is. You know, you sit up, looking up at him like that. And I was about that age, 5. And I just heard God's voice saying, I want you to serve me like this one day. I rebelled against God there. Because how can I speak? Who am I? How am I going to speak to people like he does? I never went back to church for years and years. Until we met Beryl one day up in Windhoek, and we went to the Methodist Church in Windhoek. But I never went to church. But I still struggled. And so, how can I serve God? And so when we went to Pretoria, I got saved. I still had this thing of serving God, of speaking in front of people. It's not that much the serving. I can do things. But to be able to speak, no ways. Because when I was at school, take your reader and you read a paragraph and sit down. I would count the rows and count the paragraphs. I'll tell you what, if a sentence began with an S or a P, I just couldn't get those words out. So I would just stand, and then they would come and hit you and da-da, speak, read, rebellious. So I had this rebellious thing here when I got saved. And the Lord started to bring healing into my life. And I started to understand who God really was. And I had to change one big thing. In how I saw God, two big things maybe, how I saw God, and how he's not the God with a big stick, and he's not a God that reprimands. He does reprimand, which is a good thing for us. He does discipline us, which is brilliant, because if you don't receive discipline of God, you will not be a son of God. And so you've got to look at those scriptures in Hebrews 12, where he speaks about that. But actually, he is a God that comes along. I had to see him like a dad. I had to change that. And the big thing is I had to change the way I look at myself. And I want to say to us, you know, the way that you look at yourself, you look at yourself sometimes in a way that other people have told you who you are. You are rebellious. You are ugly. You are fat. You know, you are big-nosed, or, you know, and you would see yourself in the mirror as not being that perfect person that God would accept. So we struggle to accept ourselves. So number one, you struggle with the rejection. And then you change jobs and you have another thing called fear of rejection. And we don't go, when God calls us to do something, we don't do it because we have this fear that we're going to be rejected, or a fear that I'm not good enough, or a fear that I am going to show myself more unworthy than I am already. And then you've got another rejection coming. That's self-rejection. So you've got the three rejections. They are brothers. And they want to get you to the place where you reject yourself so that eventually you can commit suicide or whatever it might be. Because the father of lies wants to kill, steal, and destroy. And the things that get him to that place is things called disobedience. Where God wants to, when we get to the place of getting to the place of obedience as he intended from the beginning, and that's why Jesus came and said, this is the way to live. When you get to the place of obedience, God starts to do something huge amongst us. In your life, my life. We've seen it over and over and over again in different people's lives. But God really wants to touch and bring huge, huge healing. So the whole self-condemning thing is one that... is one that God wants us to deal with. And you see, when we have failed somebody, it is not nice to fail. Do you know it's not nice to fail? Or it's not nice to have this sense of failure. Or if you've betrayed somebody, to have that sense of betrayal, of messed up, is not good. And that photo up there with Jesus holding that guy, that was just like I was at one stage, where God started to speak in my life, you know, but I knew that God said to me, I want you to go back to South Africa. We were in the UK for a while to start the ministry of Ellen in Africa. And so while we were training there, God said to me, I want you to go back to South Africa and I want you to establish Ellen ministries in Africa. But I cannot use you as you are. And I said, God, anything. And I allowed God to come into my life and to just repent of the stuff of the 40 years that I had in the world, which was spilling over into my Christian life. I just had to make that right. No, I didn't have to make it right. I wanted to make it right. And so when you come into the place, you will just get to this place where you actually feel I'm absolutely useless. Now I am really, but actually God is starting to bring a healing. You know, it's like having a scab or a wound and you clean it out and the scab forms but it starts to get messy underneath the pus, what do you call underneath, and sometimes you have to take the little scabs off to get to the pus so you can clean the wound again. And I think that's what it was. It was just painful, really, doing that. But when God puts it together and you get a scar, the scar still tells the story, but actually there's no more pain. Amen. And so when somebody hurts you and you forgive from your heart, you still have the memory of what happened in the past and what that person or people did to you. But actually, when God comes along and he cleans us out, we have the memory but not the pain. And you see, this is what we need as a country, as not only as an individual, but as a country. The only healing that can take place is actually when we forgive to that point where there is no more pain. You cannot change the past, but we can change the future. And that's with individuals, that's amongst language groups, that's amongst tribes, that's amongst color groups, that's amongst everything, that we need to get to the place where you can be healed of God, to a place where there is no more pain, that we can live together. God wants to do that to you. I want to, is my time up? Father, I ask you that you would just speak into our hearts now. Lord, you came to restore the brokenhearted. Lord, you came to show us how to live. Just turn to that scripture in Job, please. Father, you know the road that we've all taken. Lord, I know that you come to test our hearts. And sometimes our hearts are found wanting. Lord, we just somehow fail you just so over and over again. And we want to say sorry, Father. We want to say sorry. Lord, we want to be in that place where you can recognize our failures and where we have failed you. And maybe we have failed others. Help us to forgive those who have failed us, that have hurt us. Lord, help us to forgive those who have said hard words that has affected our character and the way that we see ourselves. And Lord, we ask you, Lord, that in our families where these hurts and pains are still so rife, Lord, help me, help us, Lord, because we know you and we know, Lord, the plans of the enemy to kill, steal, and destroy. Father, your plans is to bring life. And help, Lord, me to be able to speak into my family. That I can bring life. And to my friends, that I can be a word of life. Ask your Holy Spirit that you will just come by your amazing power, that you'll give us the words to be able to speak, to be able to know the word that sustains the hungry. Father, we just think of all the men of God in biblical time, Lord, we just think of Abraham, Lord, and we think, Lord, of how he failed you when after you gave him that incredible promise, Lord, that he would be the father of many nations, and you send him into Egypt, and he sees the authorities of Egypt coming because there was a drought, there was famine in Israel, and Lord, he gets to Egypt. And he tells his wife, tell them that you're my sister. He failed you. Father, we think of David. We all love the stories of David. But Lord, he failed you. When he went onto the TV channels and watched a bit of pornography of this woman bathing. We failed you. I'm making this modern day, by the way. Father, we just want to say sorry Lord, but even with Abraham and with David, Lord, you restored them to the place where they could again serve you. We think of Joseph with his pride and tell his brothers, you are his older brothers, you're going to kneel before me one day. And they try to kill him. And yet, Lord, he had to go to jail because of something he didn't do. And Father, yet he came out and you restored the family. You restored him. Father, we think of Elijah. He did amazing stuff, Lord. He killed 450 prophets of Baal, and yet he ran away from one woman, Jezebel. You restored him. When he got to the cave, God asked him, Elijah, what are you doing here? Elijah had to go back. And you restored him. We think of Peter. The way that he said, Lord, I will follow you anywhere, yet he denied him. He failed. We think of the woman in the well, when Jesus spoke to the woman in the well, and she saw that the Lord Jesus was the Savior. She saw it, unsaved, and she became his first evangelist. Father, we so often just miss it. I want to invite you, if you identify with any of these things, you know, of any of these people, and you're perhaps still struggling with some of the issues that we spoke about, maybe God wants to bring healing into your emotional pain. I want to invite you to stand so we can pray, so that we can say, why I'm asking you to stand is that because you're identifying with it. Say, Lord, I identify this, and these are the areas, Lord, that I'm really struggling with. Will you come and just touch into my heart? And when the Bible says that, God says that if you take one step towards me, he'll take a step towards us. So the initiative of the healing process is always going to start with us when we decide and we have the courage to say, Lord, I understand that. Forgive me. But now, Lord, I want to take that step forward. And those areas that I've been harboring in my life for so many years that has been holding me back to reaching the fulfillment of what you've planned for me, Lord, I pray that you start now. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got to start with a heart's decision that I want to go forward. And I want to bring healing into my own heart. Thank you, Father, that you are a God that wants to bring healing into our lives. I thank you, Lord, for me personally, Lord, I just say thank you for the healing that you brought into my life. It happened, Lord, when I started to know who you are and what true relationship with each other here on earth and with you, Father, how important that really is. Father, I want to say sorry for the people that I've hurt. Please forgive me for the pain I may have caused others. And Father, for the others who have hurt me in return, or perhaps even hurt me first, Lord, I choose to forgive. Father, please forgive me for holding people in bondage through my own hurt, that they themselves cannot be free. Lord, please forgive me. Father, I ask you to forgive me for the pain that I've held locked in for so many years, the offenses that I have that I've never dealt with. Lord, that is sin. And I recognize it. Please forgive me. You ask your Holy Spirit that you would just speak deep into my own heart, Lord, and help me to look at myself differently than I looked at myself even this morning. We like to say this prayer after me. Just everybody, just join in, please. Father God, I want to say sorry, Lord. I want to voice this out. And Lord, I have hurt you, and I'm sorry. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. And Lord Jesus, I choose now to forgive myself and mention your name, Derek. I forgive myself, Derek, for the pain I've caused others. And the pain I've caused you, Lord Jesus. Through my own sin, I've crucified you all over again. I'm sorry. Lord Jesus, I want to come to you with a pure heart. I want to come to you with clean hands. Please forgive me for the sins that I have done. Even as a Christian, even as being born again, even if it's been filled with the Holy Spirit, I want to say, sorry, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me. Lord, I want to serve you. I want to find ways, Lord, in which I can be kind to others. I want to find ways where I can restore these relationships, especially the ones that are close to me, that I can bring a restoration to them. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying on the cross for me, that I can now realize, Lord, that I can be restored to restore others to healing. Lord, help me to be a restorer of the broken walls, a restorer of lives that are broken through my kindness, through my nice words, through the peace that you've given me. Come, Lord Jesus. Speak into my heart. Give me wisdom. Give me give me your love, that I may receive what you have for me, that I can share it abroad to others, that I can give it to others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Start the work in my heart, Lord. Help me to serve in the body that you've put me in. Lord, I want to be part of the restoration of the hurting people within the kingdom of God. Help me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your incredible love. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen.